All right, church, let's get in God's word together. Matthew 4, 1 through 11 is our passage. Matthew 4, 1 through 11, and the title today is Temptation. Temptation. Today we're talking about temptation, and we all face them all the time. Raise your hand if you have ever faced temptation. Correct. All right, me too. All right, so we've all faced temptation, and let me give you a definition of temptation as we get started today. Temptation is attempts by the devil to allure you away from God and into sin. All right, temptation is attempts by the devil. Notice it's attempts. By who? The devil, our enemy, right? To allure you away from who? God, and into sin. So what are the temptations that are common to you? Okay? I want to make this, Lord willing, this sermon to be really, I mean, it's always so insightful to be in God's word together, and by God's grace, make it super practical today as well for each of us, because we each face temptations, and that's just real life as believers, right? So I want you, if you dare, actually just do it, right? Write down two or three temptations that you face all the time, all right? And if you need to cover your page so that the person next to you can't see that, that's okay. But if they're in your small group, just let them know about what it is, right? Jot them down. Be really honest. Right, Matthew 4, 1 through 11 is Jesus Christ being tempted by the devil. Do you think that Jesus sins?
No.
No, he doesn't sin, and that's awesome, and it's going to prove to us that Jesus is worthy of our followership, that we can rely on him, but we can also relate to him because he's been tempted as we are, yet without sin. All right, we're going to see who Jesus is, we're going to see who the devil is, we're going to see what temptation is, all of those things in this passage. So what happens is Satan throws three temptations at Jesus, and Jesus dodges them all three, and he dodges them with something that we need to learn to dodge temptation with as well. He dodges them with the truth of God's word. So when the devil is throwing a temptation at Jesus, a lie, a deception, something that's twisted, what does Jesus do? He goes right back at him with the true word of God, not the twisted, manufactured, counterfeit, fool's gold kind, right? So, before we dive in, I want to answer or ask a really important question. Why do we care? Right? Today we're going to talk about temptation. We're going to talk about how to fight temptation and how to win so that we don't open the door to sin, okay? So, why do we care? Right? Otherwise, we're just going to, like, we'll learn it. We'll learn Matthew 1 through 4, 1, 4, 1 through 11. Why do we care about fighting temptation? Why do we fight? Why not just give in? It's going to happen to us for the rest of our lives. And we're like, some temptations are worse than others, and some sins are worse than others, it seems. So what if I just let, like, a low-grade temptation just kind of always be happening in my life? I'll give in to those, but not the big stuff. Like, why is this such an important topic for us as Christians? And maybe you're here today and it's not an important subject for you right now. I think some of us get dry in our faith, or we just get so used to the pace of life that we forget. We got to be fighting this stuff and not just letting it be a part of our lives. So why fight? Why not give in? Why do we care about fighting temptation? It's because they lure us away from God to falsehood. They lure us away from the truth and the grace and the life that God provides through Jesus Christ. They lure us away from that wonderful reality that we have in Christ Jesus. They lure us away from that to falsehood, to counterfeits, to fool's gold. And we don't want that to happen, y'all. That's not where life is. That's false truth, false grace, false life. That Satan is bringing at us. When we open the temptation, so Jesus says, God says, temptation is like knocking at your door. And when we open the door, we're giving way to desire, and then temptation comes in and we give in to sin, and then we've sinned. So question, is temptation sin? Are those things the same? They're not. They're very different, and it's so important for us to understand that. We can fight temptation and not give in to sin. Temptation is common to everyone. It's going to happen to us every single day of our lives. But we can fight and not give in to temptation and not open that door. Because when we open the door, temptation and sin harm us and harm others. And the biggest reason that we got to fight and the biggest reason we got to take this really seriously is because it robs God of the glory he deserves and the obedience and the worship that he deserves. So that's why. So here's the big idea today. The big idea is Jesus is God, more powerful than evil, and can deliver us from temptation. Jesus is God. He is more powerful than evil, and he can deliver us. He can deliver you from temptation. So the question is, right now, as we get started, do you believe that? Do you believe he's God? Because this passage is going to help prove it to you. Do you believe that he's more powerful than evil? Because this passage is going to prove it to you. And do you believe that he can help you be delivered from temptation? Because this passage will help us in how, okay? So let's look at three common temptations today and the truth to combat them. Are you ready? All right, here we go. This is a equipping passage, text, all of that, all right? And if CJ yells nurse, it's because the sermon gets heavy and you need help. So if CJ does that weird thing and he yells, nurse, it's because it's getting heavy and we need help, okay? All right. No pressure, CJ. All right, here we go.
Nurse.
Sweet. All right, here we go. First one, body temptations, body. Bread versus bread. Verses 1-4. Body temptations, bread versus bread. All right, here's verse 1. Verse 1 says, then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. What? Like the Holy Spirit just led Jesus Christ into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Right? Usually in our Christianese, we're like, I feel the Holy Spirit leading me to, and we always finish the sentence in the positive. Here it says, the Holy Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Y'all got a category for that? That's called testing from God. So what is going on here? What's going on is God is proving that Jesus is morally qualified as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. If Jesus doesn't pass this test, he ain't the Savior. So, Matthew 1, verses 1 through 17, we saw the genealogy of Jesus. That's Jesus' human qualification to be the Son of God. The line that God has been aiming and preserving from the Old Testament all the way to Matthew 1, his human qualification. Then Matthew 3, his baptism. That's his divine qualification, right? Holy Spirit descends on him, marking the beginning of his ministry, saying, this is the anointed one, right? The Father says, this is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased, right? That's his divine qualification as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And then here, the temptation is his moral qualification as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. See what Matthew is doing? Chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. He is setting up the very reason why Jesus is worthy of our followership. In the next week, in the rest of Matthew 4, Ronnie is going to preach on discipleship. And Jesus is going to say, follow me. So that's the decision we make next week. So this week we're learning Jesus is worthy. He's the King of Kings. And right now, he's got to pass an enormous test. And who better to tempt Jesus' moral qualification than the Lord of darkness himself, the devil? The word tempted here is almost always used in the negative, but we know from verses like James 1:13 that God does not tempt, okay? So here's James 1:13. It says, let no one say when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one. What does that verse mean? It means that God himself tempts no one. This is not a difficult to interpret verse. It's one that we just take and believe. Has God ever tempted you? No. But God tests us. God tests us. And that's what's going on in Matthew 4. God tests us and the devil tempts us. And I find that distinction very helpful. If I recognize that something's coming at me that's hard in my life and I think of it, this is a test from God, I am far more likely to pray, to follow him, to be obedient. But if I think this is a temptation from the evil and I'm like, I'm weak, I can't handle this, please help. And I'm far more likely to fail. Right? Test or temptation, that's a helpful thing. We see in the book of Job that God gives the devil some leash, but only enough where it won't totally take Job down. So the devil is on a leash, and God's got the other end. And it's a test. And then Job says in Job 23, I was tested and I turned out as gold. That's what's happening for us when we're tempted or tested. Right? So that's what's going on. And here's verse 2. Verse 2 says, and after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, Jesus was what? Hungry. All right? He'd been in the desert for 40 days and 40 nights. Who thinks a weak spot for Jesus was bodily hunger? All right? Does the devil know our weak spots? Absolutely. Does he come right at them? Does he come at the easiest stuff first? Yes. It's exactly what he does with Jesus. The devil knows our weak spots and goes right after them. Verses 3 through 4 says, and the tempter, great nickname for the devil, let's just call it what it is, the tempter, the deceiver, came and said to him. All right, so just consider this. The devil and Jesus are talking. If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread. But Jesus answered, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Amen. Right? So notice that the temptation sounds like truth. If you're the Son of God, make these stones that kind of look like loaves of bread, make these into loaves of bread. Like Jesus, just prove it. Like if you're really the Son of God, you created everything, right? Like, why don't you just feed yourself? Temptation, right? Body temptation. Yeah, I could eat. I could do that. And what does Jesus do? He speaks scripture right back to him. Remember, the devil disguises himself in light. The devil is alluring. The devil doesn't look like a Halloween goblin that we would naturally avoid. His darkness is magnetic. His false light is alluring. Temptation one here from the devil to Jesus is, if you're really God, make stones bread. If God really loved you, wouldn't he feed you? And then he's like, I can feed you. Just do this thing. I can feed you. I'm a better God than the real God is. It's the exact same temptation from the garden. Did God really say? Does God really love you? Temptation one is aimed at the body and if God really loves. So what is Jesus' rebuttal? His rebuttal with truth. He says, man does not live on bread alone, but the word of God. Right? Do you think that Jesus, though weak in body after fasting, was strong in God after fasting? Yes. He was strong in God. And this helps us understand that God provides strength far deeper than food and sleep and comfort. But y'all, that is what we are trained to think of as I'm living the life, I've got these things. Right? Like if I don't get enough sleep, I'm like grumpy. If I don't get enough food, I'm hangry. If I don't get enough comfort, I'm like trying to order something on Amazon to like make me sleep better or be more, whatever, right? Like it's like instant for me. But like Paul, we can be hungry, countless sleepless nights, and tortured, yet loved by God. And do we have that category as Christians? So I want to show you this chart. I'm going to do this for each point. So body temptations, here's a few examples and then a verse to help, all right? So body temptations, here they are. Gluttony, lust, adultery, homosexuality, laziness, murder, drunkenness. Temptations coming at us. I pulled those right from the Word of God. I didn't Google this from a blog, right? This is like from the word, temptations. And here, 1 Corinthians 6, 9, 19 and 20. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, with whom you have from God? You were bought with a price, so glorify God in your body. Y'all, the church, the believers that were in Corinth were faced with some of the craziest wickedness this world has ever seen. Honestly, worse than what we have here now. And he's writing this to them, like, glorify God in your body, right? You're saved, you were sealed by the Spirit, you're indwelled by the Spirit, your body is a temple. Don't give in and sin against God with your body. That's temptation one, bread versus bread. The real bread is the word of God. Feed on that rather than all the things that this world offers. Feed on the word. Feed on what God says. Feed on who he is. Right? All right, here's the second temptation. The second temptation is mind. Mind. First is body. Second is mind. Test versus trust. Test versus trust. Verses 5 through 7. 5 through 7 say this. Then, notice, the devil didn't go away like, oh, shucks, didn't get him, right? Then the devil took him to the holy city, that's Jerusalem, and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you. Let me reread this because Satan would have said this in a way that sounds exactly like truth. I just said it in a way that sounded like it was wrong, right? Let me read it like Satan would have said it. And say to him, if you're the Son of God, throw yourself down. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you. And on their hands, they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. And Jesus said to him, again, it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. Okay, so temptation two. Here's temptation two. Doesn't Psalm 91 say that angels will save you if you jump? And so immediately, the mind is challenged. Does it say that? Because yeah, it does say that if I fall, the angels will keep my foot from striking a stone. And so what the devil's doing is he's twisting the word of God to make you do something stupid such that God would have to rescue you, which is a test versus trust. Ezekiel 18, it talks about how Satan was an angel, but he was thrown down from the temple because of pride, corruption of wisdom, and because he profaned the sanctuary of God. And here, the devil is tempting Jesus to fall in pride also in a similar setting, the pinnacle of the temple, and to profane the sanctuary of God. He's trying to get Jesus to do the very same thing that he did and fall from grace. It's like, place your faith in God's ability to save you and then do something stupid. Why not? The angels will save you. Y'all notice the devil is quoting scripture. He's quoting Psalm 91, 11 through 12. So we got to learn right here and right now that the devil knows God's word. The devil has it memorized. The demons have it memorized. What's the difference between them and us? They don't believe it. They're not saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ like we are. It's a document that they know is true, but they will not let it be alive to them. So he tries to get us to misinterpret it so that we do stupid things and rationalize things with God's word. So what is Jesus' rebuttal with truth? He says, don't put the Lord your God to the test. So he quotes scripture. He's quoting from Deuteronomy 6 and from Isaiah 7. Don't put the Lord your God to the test. Jesus chose to trust God's love and leadership, not the devil's lures to lead him away. Do not put the Lord your God to the test. So he didn't give in. Here's some critical application for us right here. We got to know God's word so that we don't fling it around like the devil does, out of context to rationalize stupidity. Like, God is love, so I can get away with anything. Right? We just throw God's character of love out there. and forget completely that in his character of love, he's given us guardrails and boundaries, because what loving person, much less God, doesn't give those he loved boundaries to keep them from self-destruction? So we say things like, God is love, so I can get away with anything. Or we say, what God said a while ago is pretty old, so here's my update. And we're changing God's word, or we're twisting God's word, or we don't know God's word, and so we're really incapable of fighting the devil who knows God's word really well. So here's the mind temptations, okay? Mind temptation, just a few. Pride, lying, half-truths, greed, selfish ambition, workaholism, and guilt. Mind temptations. Temptations that can turn into sin. And then there's Romans 12:2. Such a verse of grace, such a verse of opposites. Do not conform any longer to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your what? Your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what the will of God is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. If your mind is renewed, you're going to know better and be able to tell when the devil is deceiving you and be like, no, man, that's not right. This is right. You can now test and approve God's good and perfect and pleasing will. So the thought here is, don't test God. Trust God in fighting temptation. Set your mind on God and God's word. Right, so we've looked at body temptation, we've looked at mind temptation, and now we're going to look at the third and last one, and it's soul temptation. Kingdom versus kingdom, right? Kingdom come. Jesus' kingdom come. So look at verse 8. Verse 8 says, again. Y'all realize that word again is used multiple times here? Just like up in my Bible, two lines, again. So there's this onslaught, right? The devil continues to bring temptation to Jesus. He continues to bring temptation for us. This is an onslaught. This is like valve of temptation open, flowing into your life. Again, again, again. And do we realize that? Do we live like that? Do we live with that fight? Are we ready? Are we equipped, right? Verse 8 says, again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all of the kingdoms of the world and their glory. He's like, look, Jesus, south is Egypt, and west is Rome, and east is Babylon, and north is all this amazing area that's gonna be developed. And all of it can be yours right now if you call within the next 5 minutes so I can ship and handle your soul. Verse 9. Temptation's still going. The devil said to him, all these I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. And there it is. There we see the devil's ultimate goal. This temptation is deep and it's damning. It's inherit the entire world and give the devil your soul. So notice this about kingdom, right? Remember, we talked about how kingdom is a massive theme in the Gospel of Matthew, right? Right here in chapter 4 of Matthew, we see that the devil has a kingdom and Jesus has a kingdom. Who's you with? All right? There's the devil's kingdom come. He's like, go ahead and get it, man. Right now, you can have it. It's easy. You don't have to go through the cross. You don't have to go through Gethsemane. You can be Lord here. You just have to be Lord under me. But I'll let you be Lord over everything that you can see. That's the temptation. Y'all, are you noticing in this passage that the devil knows that Jesus is God the Son? Are you noticing here that the devil is trying to prevent Jesus from going to the cross and paying the penalty of our sin and redeeming those who place their faith in Jesus to redeem them back to God? Do you notice that he's doing that? Do you notice he knows Jesus is the Son of God? He's trying to wreck the plan. He knows the plan. He knows the word. He's doing everything he can to try to wreck it. And so he tempts Jesus with an easy answer. Go ahead and have a kingdom now, the easy way, not through the cross, through me, the devil, and look at how vast your kingdom will be. What would Jesus do for us, though? He would go to the cross. He'd be hung on a tree. He'd be crucified. He would die of suffocation to pay the penalty of our sins because he is the perfect, spotless lamb who can deliver us back to God. He endured this temptation for us. He endured the temptation because he's God the Son, and he wasn't going to sin. But he got through this because he was going to the cross to pay the penalty so that we could be saved. And Satan failed at trying to sway him. So what did Jesus say? Verse 10, this is awesome. He says, then Jesus said to him, "Be gone, Satan! For it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve." And then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and were ministering to him. All right, when I'm reading this passage and I get to verse 10, then Jesus said to him, "Be gone, come, Satan!" Exclamation point. I'm like pumping my fist. I'm like, yes! I'm like, Jesus, right, hooked the devil, right? I'm like spitting everywhere while I preach, right? This is awesome. Jesus just said, "Be gone, Satan." I'm like, we can use that phrase. For it is written, "You shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve." It's not like a little bit of the devil and his kingdom and a lot of God, but a little bit of this. I like that flavor combination. It's like him only you shall serve. He is defiant in the face of the devil, and this fires me up. And it wakes me up when I get tempted and I'm like, I'm so tired of this. I just want to give in a little bit. Oh my goodness. I read this passage and I'm like, him only you shall serve. Be gone, Satan. Satan wanted worship. Satan wanted Jesus to be his minion. And then, you know what happens after Jesus says, "Be gone"? Then the devil left him. Think about James, right? Resist the devil and he will what? Flee from you. The same thing that Jesus did, we can do too. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Now, I personally would prefer it if he would flee from me a little faster. But he will, and we got to keep resisting. Is your life a life of resisting the devil, of fighting the devil, and fighting the way that Jesus is fighting? This is an example for us. We see that Jesus is excellent. He's God. In this passage, it proves he's morally worthy to be our Savior, but it's also an example for us of how to fight. We fight back with truth. And the angels are ministering to him. So here's the soul temptations in the verse to follow. Soul temptations, unbelief, and hurry, and idolatry, and coveting, and my kingdom, and worldly gain. Those are soul temptations in Matthew 16, 26. And I just can't help but wonder if he was thinking back to Matthew 4 in this temptation. Jesus said, "What will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul?" Y'all, if you were tempted with the entire world, would you take it? Or would you be like, "Nah, man, Jesus, I'll take Jesus in suffering any day." So, that kind of ends the exposition time, and I just want to get really practical and pull some applicational things out of the passage for us as we finish. What is the first and greatest commandment? What is it, right? It's love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. That's Matthew 22, 37. It's why love God is at the top of everything we're doing. Love God, right? That's the first and greatest commandment. What are the first and greatest temptations? It's leave the Lord your God with all your body, mind, and soul. Do you see that? It's the reverse. It's Satan trying to undo the greatest commandment. He's trying to get you to leave the Lord your God with all your body, mind, and soul so that you can't love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. Next, I want to ask, how does Jesus defeat each of the temptations? How does he do it? He's speaking the word of God. That's how you defeat temptation. You speak the word of God to the devil, right? The devil might be dominating the word count as he does in my head all the time. But we can dominate the devil with the word of God. And then another thing to pick up here is each time we're tempted, and Jesus was tempted, it was body, mind, or soul, plus an assault against who God is and God's love for you. Do you see those? It's a temptation at your body, your mind, or your soul, and it's an assault against God's character, who he is. Does he really love you? And your identity in him. Are you really saved? Every single time. Same temptation from the garden, Genesis 3. Did he really say that? Does he really love you? Why wouldn't he let you have this if he really loves you? And I just think of Isaiah 43. God has called you by name. I think of Matthew 1. Jesus is with us. He is Emmanuel, that promise to believe it. I think of Romans, that Jesus has redeemed us. So, some of you are unsure what's the devil's truth, grace, and life versus Jesus's truth, grace, and life. And you gotta learn the difference. Some of you don't care about temptation or sin at all. You're hard-hearted, or you're battle-weary, and you're now just saying, what's the point? What's the point? Some of you are just full-on giving in, knowing you shouldn't, and you're raising a fist at God. Like, I tried to fight it. I tried. You're just giving in because you never helps me. And some of you are aware of your need to change some things big time toward resistance, and you're needing help. And some of you are fighting really hard and you're ready for heaven. And I pray increasingly that that will be all of us. Fighting really hard and ready for heaven, because y'all, heaven's going to be awesome and we're going to see Jesus face to face. And we're going to, it's just going to be amazing. You know what's not in heaven? Temptation. And I am ready for that. I am tired of fighting. I hate it. And I pray we'll get better and better at fighting the way Jesus fights with the word of God. So here's some straight up common sense stuff. You need the truth and grace and life of God in your ears from the word preached and sung and reminded to you by communion as often as you can possibly get it, in order for you to endure. Just straight up, think about it. If temptation is an onslaught, open valve all the time, flowing at your face all the time, you want to get as much of God's word and fellowship and singing to replace that or to compete against it, right? So that you can tell the difference. Second common sense thing, you need fellowship for the fight. You need fellowship for the fight. You got to have brothers and sisters in Christ knowing what your temptations are and knowing how to pray for you, and people that you can text and be like, yo, this is a tough day. This is a dark day. I am really hurting with temptation today. Will you pray for me? And that person sees that text and they drop their work for a minute and they give you a call and they pray with you for 5 minutes over the phone. We need to be brothers and sisters like that to one another, and we need to be willing to ask for help, right? Next, you need to consider your environment. I know multiple friends who have drifted away from Jesus. They've disbelieved. They've defied the gospel. They've denied him completely. And what's happened is they've placed themselves in the devil's lair without help, thinking that they got this. That is foolishness. And if your work or your environment, wherever, is a dark environment, you got to be all the more intentional about drawing the drapes so lots of light can get in. Do everything you can. And I know some of you are in those environments and it's very difficult for you to get out. But the Lord has you there and he doesn't want to see you taken down. So let a lot of light in, right? And then the last one is, you need to consider where the constant temptation knocks are coming from and stay away from those doors and remove the peepholes and get a friend strong in the faith to guard it like a bouncer at the carnal club you shouldn't be at. Just common sense stuff. If we're really taking this seriously and we really want to honor the Lord with our lives and we really want to be holy. So I asked this question at the beginning. I want to ask it now at the end. What temptations do you face? What temptations do you face? For me, there are three. There's three. And I know what they are. For me, it's lusts, and it's numbers, and it's disappointments. I've got them down to one word. And if I'm fighting one really well, guess what else pops up? It's like whack-a-mole. The other one pops up. I may have one day a week where I don't feel the onslaught of temptation. And I imagine that you feel the same. I can either whine about those temptations, or I can equip myself with God's word and Jesus, my high priest. So I know what my temptations are. I've observed my life. I'm like, man, where are these? Okay, what are they? Okay, is there this one and this one and this one? And then I'm like, are there other ones? And sure, there's other ones, but these are the main ones. And I know they're sourced from the deceiver. So they can come at me now and I can dodge them and I can be like, temptation. Sounds good, looks good, is alluring. Temptation, dodge it, take it captive, seal it up, and fill that bucket of garbage for the glory of God. And the lid on the bucket is the word of God. That's truth that dominates and holds captive the lies. And y'all, I fail all the time. All of us do. None of us are Jesus. But Jesus is Savior who forgives and fights with us, and both of those are really awesome. So what temptations do you face? And what temptation or what truth combats them? And I want you to ask Jesus for help. Ask Jesus for help. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, no temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability, but with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape so that you may be able to endure it. That doesn't mean endure it in your own strength. That would be silly reading the rest of the word of God. That means endure it with the power of the Spirit and the power of the church and the word of God. Think of 1 John 1:9, that if you confess your sin to the Lord, he is faithful and just to forgive you your sin. I think of Romans 8:1 that says, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Y'all, we're forgiven our sins. If you're here today and you are in Christ Jesus, you are forgiven your sins, all of them, past, present, future. You are forgiven all of them. But we still fight temptation. We're still going to give in. And we go right back to the cross where we were saved in the first place for forgiveness when we sin again. And our goal is fighting well the temptations that are coming at us and fighting them like Jesus fights. He's our excellent Savior and he's our example. So here's what I want to do. I want to give us a little bit of workshop time here as we close. I want you to, we're gonna share communion here. And before we do, I want you to reflect a bit. And I want you to take those primary 2-3 temptations. If there's 8, just like narrow it, y'all. We don't have time for 8 right now, right? Narrow it down to 2 or 3, the big dogs, right? What are those temptations? How often are they coming at you? What is truth that combats them? Who can help you? Who do you trust? Who in this room Do you trust enough to be like, hey, sister in Christ, these are my two. Can you pray for me? Can you think of verses with me? Men in this room, hey, brother in Christ, here's my three. Help me. What are verses? Will you pray for me? Will you beg on your knees for me? Because I don't want to give in to this stuff. I want to fight until heaven. And then I want to rejoice with everyone else that's already there that temptation isn't there and Jesus is there. Right? So what are they? What are the two or three? What is the verse you're going to fight and then fight with? And then we're going to do this right. We're going to apply the gospel to these temptations. We're going to apply the gospel to the sin. And the gospel is Jesus Christ on the cross, that he paid the penalty of our sin. He sacrificed himself, his body slain for us, his blood poured out for the forgiveness of sins. We're not going to fight temptation with our effort as if we can earn our way out. We're going to fight temptation with the gospel of the good news of Jesus, of who we are in him. And then we're going to fight with his word and the truth, and that there's therefore now no condemnation, and that I can be forgiven. That's how we're going to fight. Healing and deliverance doesn't come through our flesh. It comes through the Lord. So take some time to get with the Lord and pray. Just be honest. These are my temptations. He already knows them. Lord, forgive me. He will. If you're here and you're saved and not saved, ask for forgiveness today. If you're live streaming and you're watching, ask for forgiveness today and be saved. Confess your sin and pray to the forgiver and ask him for forgiveness, and he will save you. He is faithful and just. So enjoy some time now with the Lord. Jesus, you are God, and you are more powerful than evil, and you can deliver us from temptation. And we believe that. We remember that you said it in the prayer that you taught us, deliver us from temptation. You wouldn't have told us to pray that if you weren't faithful to do it. So God, help. Lord, forgive us our sins. Forgive us our sins before you, the Holy God. We are dirty, filthy wretches, and you, by your kindness, have redeemed us. By your grace, you've saved us, you've forgiven us, and we give you praise and glory for that. God, we ask your help. We need help, Jesus, to fight temptation. We need help to even realize we need to fight, and we need help certainly to fight, and we need help with the verses to throw back at the deceiver. We need help to build relationships in this faith family that are deep and strong and true, real fellowship where prayer's happening and where we're seeing things change in people's lives. So God, help us. Help us. And Jesus, we love you. Thank you for forgiveness. Thank you for your presence, that you're our high priest on whom we can rely and with whom we can relate. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Church, on the night Jesus was betrayed, he took bread and he He broke it and he said, this is my body sacrificed for you. And you all just remember that scene. It's his disciples sitting around a table, very aware of their own sin. And Jesus said, this is my body sacrificed for you. And then he said, this wine, this juice, it represents the blood of a new covenant for the forgiveness of sins. And those disciples were thinking, this is amazing. I can be forgiven before God because of what Jesus is about to do. And we look back on that and say, I can be forgiven by God because of what Jesus has done. So if you're being forgiven today for the first time, praise God. If you're being forgiven today for the 4,000th time, praise God. It's his body and his blood through which we have redemption to God. Let's remember that.